Blog Talk Radio.
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Sit back, relax, learn, and listen. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation. 858-357-9137. Listen and learn who you are. Learn the true history of how society was physically built. Learn the history of who you really are. Learn the history of your people. It's Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence through history.
Good evening to each and every one. I would just like to say good evening, and God bless you. I pray everything is safe in your journey through life. As we in our community prepare to see what the jury and the trial will come out, the outcome of the trial of George Floyd, we can only pray that justice will prevail. All too often, as we watch when a white policeman or a white person, individual, kills a person of color, African American, the person who goes on trial is the individual that's been murdered. They smoke weed, they've been picked up with drug contraband in school. You remember how they did the young man that was killed for going to get his Skittles, Trayvon Martin, and a T. They said he had, when he was in school, he got put out for having marijuana papers on him. And they vilified a person instead of a crime that's been perpetrated against that individual. And but the video of this senseless murder should be enough. They shouldn't even have to have court. They just look at what transpired. He's not resisting. He's not fighting. You have your knee on his neck, and he's crying out to you. He cannot breathe. 8 minutes you left your knee on that man's neck, Mr. Floyd's neck. 8 minutes. The last thing he did is something that most people don't say. People that have been in the war will tell you, when someone is shot or been blown up or been injured bad on the battlefield in war, they call for their mother. Tell my mother I love them. George Floyd cried out for his mother. That, to me, it wasn't nothing new that a man would do that, because that's the closest thing to a person's heart who birthed them, and they cry out for them, or cry out to them, or want them to know how they feel or the affection they have for them. Nonetheless, we're just going through just a little catch up on different current events before we get into the history talk. We just passed the bill of $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that's to stimulate the economy and to help those who are behind on their rent and those who are unemployed, also to stimulate the economy by giving everyone who single family dwelling who make under from $80,000 and below and a stimulus check of $1,400. And also, if you make under $120,000 per family, you could get per person that one that $1,400 per person. Nevertheless, it's so many things in it. But again, we find out that the very people that we send to represent us in the GOP don't think that the country is in need of any money. They were so against things that they voted against giving $15 hour raise for to raise the minimum wage from $7.25. Now, if you do the mathematics, no one could really survive off of $7.25. That's below the poverty level. You can't purchase a home. You can't really pay rent and purchase an automobile to get to and from work. You can't feed your family and buy them the necessary things. And they ask why that the poor kids are out stealing and doing what they're doing. When you live in impoverished and everyone else have things, the kid's going to do something. A lot of this has been perpetrated, pushed upon our families from slavery time when we were freed from slavery. But now, when we were free, we weren't made free. We were set free. See, there is a difference in being set free and being made free. Now, listen at me, if you will. The slaves, my ancestors, my great-grandparents were set free, meaning that it came to an end, but they didn't have any money. They could not read. They didn't have anywhere to go. How would they take care of themselves? How would they feed themselves? And where will they live? They didn't own any property. And if they came to reading signs, they could not read the signs. So they stayed on the plantation and became sharecroppers. Now I said, now that's set free. But when somebody make you free, that means you don't have to depend on them anymore. If they would have gave them the 40 acres and a mule, if they would have paid them reparation for over 200 years in servitude, working from sun up to sun down, in the field, building this country to what it is today, they would have had money to be independent, and they would own a lot of things even to this very day. If they would have been allowed to read, they would have been far better off. But being set free and made free is a horse of a different color. It's two different modes. So that's something that I want us to start looking at. And then we've been behind the eight ball ever since. Once I told some individuals in a race meeting, for African American, it's like somebody traveling 262 miles. The person is at the starting line, so they have to drive 262 miles. But the other person have a 160-mile jump. And then how, 260-mile jump. How can you ever catch up? They need 2 miles to finish, and you need 262 to get there. They have been free and able to go so far. They own everything. And things, and then they still put roadblocks in your way to keep you from getting to where they are with systemic racism. So it's incumbent upon us as a people to work together. And I said before I start off going back into the history and explaining certain things to you, these are questions I know that you know, so many of us inevitably have them in the tip of their tongue. Why is these things like that? Why are white people white? Why are they black? That I will answer that for you. There are so many. So we right now, as a people, are trying to move forward. But we have so many roadblocks against us, and we're fighting and defeating ourselves. I know a lot of blacks don't want to hear this, but we're killing one another at an alarming rate. Who break in your house is usually a person of color. Who robs you? Who carjacks you? See, we have to take away a lot of these things, too. We have to work on our family. And what I'm talking about when I'm saying family, I'm calling all African Americans. We have to do some house cleaning. We have to get rid of these crimes and things that we perpetrate against one another. We're going to have to learn how to unite and come together as a people like other races have come together. I saw that Vietnamese came to America after the Vietnam War, and almost 11 families, they would live in one house. I don't know how they were sleeping, but they saved their money, and everybody worked, and they started opening stores, and they moved out, and they went and bought a nice home because they worked together. We're going to have to use some of that instead of being like crab when one try to get up, the other pull him down. We're going to have to get past that pointing the finger. If we know that look like white America won't give us a break, we got to make the break. We got to start being entrepreneurs and buying and selling things that we come by legal. And there are ways that you could accomplish things legally. To say that we need to come together as a people, and about 97% of the stuff that happened to us, about 80-some-odd percent, is self-inflicted. The other percentage of it is that the major parts that keep us from going up real high is systemic racism, but we have a part to doing it too. So first we have to get rid of the part that we play, because we have our own volition, we have our own will. We can say yes or no to anything, not because whites, we don't have planes and we don't have submarines to get drugs in, but we sure can say we're not going to sell them. Because God gave us free will, moral agent, yes or no to anything that we come against. Do I have to rob? No. I can say no instead of saying yes and end up in prison. You know, we have to learn to not blame others for the shortcoming that befalls upon us. Those are things, and we have to move toward those things. I'm proud that the Democrats did vote together. They did take out the $15 an hour. I was talking with my brother the other night. He's a retired CPA. And we were talking, and I was telling him that I would love to see the people in the Senate and in the House, Republicans, live off of $7.25 an hour and give them a taste what the poor is going through. They couldn't make it, but yet they are willing to keep that low wage there to keep their foot on certain people's neck. They said $1.9 trillion is just raising the debt for America, for our children. Well, nothing was said when President Trump gave over $2 trillion tax exemption and other things to the wealthiest people in America. That's our money. But they gave it to them. They didn't hire any more people that was being hired. The economy was up on an upswing and was being robust because of what President Obama did. Our past predecessor, I hate to call his name sometimes, Trump came into office, it wasn't in bad shape. It was, had to rebound. We was no longer in a recession or anything else. So when he came in, so he didn't have a rough time. But now President Biden, who's a Democrat, he has a rough time. This is the country is in a bad shape. President Obama got the jobless rate thing down to 4.6. It only got down to 3 point something under President Trump. So he really didn't take it down much, and it was already headed downward. So it's a lot of things that I often tell Pastor William, that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't do the reading and research. But I'm a very person. I'm like this, and I'm not a nerd or what you would call or anything like that, because I grew up hanging out on the street corners, running gangs and other things like that. But I've always been very inquisitive. I always wanted to know. After I inquisitive, I would ask questions. I want to know. But then I'll become analytical and inquisitive and analytical. Then I analyze or give an analysis of that which I read or studied. And with all these things, putting those things together, I've learned so much, and you can learn so much too. Now, my degrees are in theology and theology and biblical studies, and I have a PhD. But I like to read a gamut of things to be very, very well-rounded in things. And I often wanted to know about being black, why blacks were mistreated. I wanted to know where did life originate from. And I found out a lot. And this is one question that had been being asked. It was being asked a lot of time, and we try to figure out if everyone came from Africa, well, why are we different colors? Why are our hair texture different? Well, see, that you have to understand now, this is something, and it go by different things that we are approached with. We have to understand that the human skin color range from the darkest brown to the lightest hue. And different skin color among individuals is caused by a variation in pigmentation, which is a result of genetics or inheritance from biological parents or exposure to the sun or both from across populace or the environmental thing. But now I want you to understand that when people left out of Africa, now I want us to understand this, that there's a very, very direct correlation between geographic distribution of ultraviolet radiation, talking about where you live, and distribution of indigenous skin pigmentation around this whole world. Areas that receive higher amounts of UV rays or sunlight generally located closer to the equator have a tendency to have dark skin in the populated areas and far to the tropics. And closer to the pole, talking about the north or the south pole, they are lighter skinned. Now, some researchers suggest that the human population in the past 50 years has changed from dark-skinned people. Now, this is out of Africa, happened 70,000 years ago, but they will tell you that the original people, were not Caucasian, not white, 58,000 years ago, have changed from dark skin to light skin and vice versa as they migrated from the UV zone, meaning further from the south to the north, going up in Europe, and that such a major change, pigmentation may have happened in as little as 100 generations, meaning 2,500 years through a sweep. The natural skin color can also be darkened as a result of tanning due to exposure to the sun, and that tells you something right there about the different areas. Now, the leading theory of skin color adaptation is that the sunlight radiating to provide a partial protection against the UV rays, talking about the dark skin color that we have, protect us against different ultraviolet rays. That's why so many people who are Caucasian or European get burnt up when they get in the sun, and blacks can take the sun better. You know, the UV refraction that produce damage and thus mutations in the DNA of a skin. In addition, it has been observed that female average are significantly lighter in skin pigmentation than men. Female need more calcium during pregnancy and lactation of the body is synthesized with vitamin D. Now listen to this about the melanin, and this is what happens and why we come up with different colors of people with different color about melanin in the genes. Melanin was produced by melanocytogenes. Melanin is made within small membrane bound packages called melanosome. as they become full of melanin, they move into slender arms or melanocytes from where they are transferred to what is keratitis. Under normal condition, melanosa covers the upper part of the keratinocytes and protects them with genetics. Now listen at this. The genetic mechanism behind human skin color is mainly regulated by an enzyme called tyrosinase, which creates the color of skin and eyes and hair shed. The different skin colors are also attributed to inside the distribution of melanosum in the skin. Now, whites don't have that in them when they left. They went through what you call a mutation. The melanocytes produce the type of melanin, and most common form of a biological melanin is eumelanin, a brown-black polymer. Notice now, that's what it just a regular produce, a brown or black polymer. Now, and their reduced form, most derived from amino acids. Now, eumelanin is found also in hair. That's why some people have lighter hair and dark hair. And reduced form, most are derived from what I told you about amino. Now, the amount and type of melanin produced is controlled by the number of genes that operates under incomplete dominance. Now, one copy of each various genes is inherited from each parent. Each gene can come in several alleles, resulting in a great variety of human skin tone, melanin control, and this is called by the ultraviolet race that the people were dark. The original people were dark. Now, this is something that the evolution of skin color. Now, this is something that we need to read, and we need to study the lost body hair and homonym. Species assumed to be related to the emergence of bipedalism of 5 to 7 million years ago. Bipedalism, homonym, body hair may have disappeared gradually, allow better heat dispensation through the sweating and emergence of the pigmentation. And they'll tell you that if you go on and on, it will tell you that about 100 to 70,000 years ago, some anatomical modern humans today that we call anatomical humans today are almost begin to migrate away from the tropics out of Africa to the north, where they were exposed to intense sunlight. This was possible, you know, they left from the, tropical north, and where they were exposed to less sunlight. This was possible and due to the ending of the great use of clothing to protect against the colder climates. Under the condition, there were less photo destruction and foliage, so evolutionary pressure worked against the survival of lighter skin generous variation and reduced. In addition, light skin is able to generate more vitamin D than darker skin, so it have represented a healthy benefit in reducing sunlight if there were limited sources of D, hence leading to hypothesis for the evolution of human skin color. So that's what they say. They went up that these dark skinned people that were found that left Africa went up in Europe away from the hot sun and things, and they went through a change, which, you know, their body went through a mutation, and they began to like the melanin, the sunlight. They say that was from 100 to 70,000 years ago. But now let's look at this closely now. They talks about it, but then now they say now the genetic mutation leading to light skin thought partially different from East Asia and Western Europe suggested that two groups experienced a similar selective pressure after settling in northern latitude. Now, what they're saying is that the people in China and the people in Russia and other places, skin got lighter. But now, what really did that theory into play was they discovered some bodies and skin pigmentation and geographic skin that was the skin coloration might have happened faster. In other words, we have to understand that even with this, we have to understand that in Europe they found, and this was no more than 10,000 years ago, and 18,000 years ago had passed since the light-skinned alleles was fixed in Europe. In other words, it haven't been that long that people turned light-skinned. And then some say from 12 to 6,000 years ago, given a precision of method, which in the line is the earliest evidence of farming, talking about people haven't been light-skinned that long at all. And so what they're saying is, like they say, one of the most recent proposed drivers of the evolution of skin pigmentation in human is based on research that show a superior barrier function in dark pigmentation skin. A superior barrier function in dark pigmentation. You know what superior is. Most protective function of the skin includes a permeable barrier and antimicrobiology barrier residing in the scrotum. And the research that they said that the SC undergoes the genetic change since the loss of the body hair, meaning that the hair. And it talks about how the Homans in Africa and light skin evolved partially separated less two times after the modern human out of Africa. Genetics. Now this is where it come in. Understand the genetic mechanism underlying human skin color. Variation is still not totally all that complete, but they said the different population alleles frequency, and that's alleles frequency or genes, and it is a combination of the allele variation that brings the complex continuous variation of skin coloration that we can observe today in modern human. And that's what we see today. And they tell you that it hasn't been that long, and that when you find people with light skin, that they're at dark-skinned people, let's say all modern humans share a common ancestor who lived around 200,000 years ago. Listen at this. Main article, dark skin. Everybody, all of us came from dark-skinned people in Africa. All modern humans share the common ancestor who lived 200,000 years ago in Africa. Comparison between known skin pigmentation genes. The modern-day African shows the dark skin evolved along with the loss of some body hair 1.2 million years ago, and that his common ancestors had dark skin. Investigation in the dark skin population in Asia and Malaysia indicate that the skin pigmentation in these populations is due to the preservation of this ancient state and not due to the new variation of any previous lightening of a population. Melanocortin, now, they talk about a gene that primarily responsible for determining whether phenomelanin eumelanin is produced in a body. Researchers show that 10 different, they call it MC1R, between Africans and chimpanzees. Simple. The genes have probably undergone a strong positive section. Okay. Now, when they say light skin, for most part, the evolution of light skin was found different genetic path in Europe and in Asia. Now, listen at this. They say the genes, however, from KITLG and SIP have mutations associated with light skin that have high frequency in both European and South Asian populations. They are thought to have originated after humans spread it out of Africa, but before a divergence of Europeans and Asian lineages around 30,000 years ago. Now, they're telling you when the people left out of Africa, that's when the skin started turning lighter. Now, it's a lot to this, and I'm going to go back now, and we're going to start now, and I'm going to go back to those. But I really wanted to know, because we never really got into that, and the talk really talk about people are different complexion. While white people are pale, they're not white, but why are their skin flesh color? Or really don't really have a real color, but flesh. And why are we brown or dark brown, or why are we different calmer colors and things? Because we have to understand that in Africa, all Africans never, millions of years ago, never was the color of some of the people in the Sudan. That some of them, they got a certain group of people in Sudan, white, they say, in the area, and that's in the area right around O.D. Gorge. And that's why they say life really originated from man originated. They're some of the darkest people in the entire world. But at the same time, that's not everyone in the Sudan. Usually if you find a person from East Africa, they have pointed nose. So it's not the broad nose. And then some say that the further you get toward the equator and stuff, for the breathing that humid air, the nostril was expanded and things like that. And when certain people left out of Africa, they went through a mutation because the air was thinner and stuff when they went up in colder climate. But nevertheless, it all started, you know, back many, many millions of years ago. It started in Africa, and that's what the main thing we have to understand. Life started in Africa. Now, some of the oldest fossils that they found is called Australopithecus, and Lucy is Australopithecus. They're talking about farmers. Fossil skeleton found, a partial fossil skeleton found in Ethiopia in 1974, not simply because of her ending or understanding of the process of evolution, but also because she became a household name, Lucy. Now, the people that dug this fossil found this fossil of a human was Don Johansson and Tom Gray. Now, they named her Lucy because the Beatles, the British group The Beatles, had a record called Lucy in 1974. Now, the fossil of Lucy they found, now, didn't go back hundreds of thousands of years ago. It went back 3.18 million years ago. And there are others. Now, these are not black anthropologists or paleontologists and others, anthropologists, you know, paleontologists. They're not just those. These are Caucasians. Now, there are also other British people that were paleontologists from Britain, Lewis Leakey and Mary Douglas Leakey, and who found and discovered the first fossil of what they call proconsul skull. Now, they say that this was an ape, but which that now that some believe it was an ancestor to human. She also discovered a robust Zinzanthropus skull in O.D. Gorge in Tanzania. Now that's right around the Sudan, around Tanzania, in East Africa. And when you look at Zinzanthropy, it deals right there with Northeast Africa. Professor Aliki and his wife, which was, you know, had several archaeological, anthropological, and anthropological finds that they found. They found ancestral ape bones, but they also found human bones that were excavated in the Ogoni Gorge in Africa in 1960. But the point of them finding these fossils, which was, they found that they were able, and they knew they were the monkeys because they were able to walk upright, and they were able to make arrowheads and other stone tools. They found, some found pieces of pottery. Now, and that go back thousands and hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the way with now, the, who we are, and I know you heard me speak earlier pertaining to about 200,000 years ago, all of us could trace our being back to this black lady. And I'm about to bring this black lady to life to you now. Now, if we would trace our DNA in the maternally heritage, mitochondria within our cells, all humans have the theoretical common ancestor. This woman was known as Mitochondria Eve. She lived between 100 to 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not the first human, but eventually other female lineage eventually had no female offspring. And failing to pass on the mitochondria DNA, and as a result of this, all, not some, but all humans today can trace their mitochondria DNA back to mitochondria Lucy, not Lucy, but to Eve, in her. Within Eve DNA and with her peers, everybody around her, exists all the genetic variants we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Everyone living today, every contemporary human from over 200,000 years ago, carry her DNA, a black woman. Now this white, black, Chinese, I don't care what nationality you are, you carry her DNA. From different population, humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups, you know, Chinese, whether you're Korean, whether you're from India, whether you're European, or whether you're from Eskimo or whatever, whether you're African, everybody came from her. Now, what's ironic about it, they had these guys in South Africa, Andrew Smith, he was from the University of Cape Town. He also found fossils of a man who died about 315 years before Christ. So some maybe 2,307-year-old fossils that were found in South Africa. And they found out that he, without a doubt, is the closest relative yet to the humanity common to the female ancestry of Mitochondria Eve. They know he was a fisherman and that he was the closest genetic match to Eve. He lived around, they found that his father around St. Helen Bay. And again, the archaeologists, it wasn't an anthropologist or paleontologist, but it was an archaeologist, Andrew Smith, at the University of Cape Town, who found this fossil. Now, all of this point that everything started in Africa. For some reason that they won't teach you these things in school, but everything that I've just spoke on concerning, you can do the research on them. You can look up and find out who is Louis Leakey, Mary Douglas Leakey. You could find out about Don Johansson and Tom Gray, about all you have to do is look up Lepificus, and you'll find out about the lady that was named Lucy from in Africa that was 3.18 million years ago. And then if you go to Professor Leakey, Louis Leakey and his wife Mary Douglas Leakey, you can find out about Zinzanthropus and all the findings that they had in the old deep gorge in Tanzania. All of this stuff is written. And then we could take it even further in deciding how we're going to look at these things. There's so much that we can look into. Now, another thing that we need to start studying too, studying genetics, the genetic makeup of man. I just proved to you that everybody started with dark skin. I showed you that they went through a mutation. I talked about the alleles in the genes. I showed you how it changed. And you can look this up, by the way. You can look it up yourself and do the research for yourself and find out. This is the hidden secret. If you never find out who you are, you always think you less. We are the original. Now, and I'm going to say this when I say we. That dark race of people are the original race of humankind. Those who came from Africa, of African descent. Now, everybody came from Africa, but the original people were people of dark skin that only went through a mutation or in a breakdown. And I'm about to say something that's going to shock you. And then if anybody that's Caucasian or anyone that's pretty studious and want to disagree, I submit to you today that you can look this up for yourself. Now, the father of genetics, his name was called Gregoire Mendel, and he had what they call Mendel's Law. And Mendel's Law deal with inheritance involved with the passing on of discrete units of inheritance, genes from parent to the offspring. Mendel found that paths of, you know, and peas and different things, how they pass on, and they would make different colors of that they had. So Mendel started doing a study, and he came up with a law, and the law pertains to some of the things I just said earlier when I was talking about the genes and the mutation and the things like that. This is what Mendel talked about with the mutations and stuff. He had a law of independent assortment. If you live in certain areas, the people are going to look alike. If when the people moved up in Europe and they moved, they sorted a group go one way, how you assort things. You might say you take your blue clothes and put them somewhere, your white clothes and your brown clothes, and you keep putting them all together. If it was humans or other, they'll make those of his kind. But you could take one of the dark or the brown ones or the black one, and it will make all variations. And now I've got something they call a law of dominance. The law of dominance associate really with the most the dominant color that's there. And the dominant colors that you have is black and brown. Is dominant or dominant colors. Black or brown skin is dominant gene. Brown eyes is dominant. Light skin or Caucasian come from a recessive gene. Blue eyes is a recessive gene. If you look up what dominance means, it means superior. I know we talk about the baby blue eyes and not that many people. If you ever pay close attention, not that many people have it because it's a mutation. It's a mutation. And then you had the law of segregation. That's when people moved up in Europe and they were segregated from around that and that area, and that they produced a lot of the stuff they produced were kids that were more or less looked like them by being segregated, just like saying you're out on an island And everybody, all the kids start looking like the people out on that island. They begin to look like the people. And that's all that is those people who lived in those areas all came together. And those are the three Mendel's laws. Mendel's have the law of independent assortment. Mendel's law also talk about the law of dominance. And I was trying to break that down to you guys. And then the law of segregation, dealing with botany and genetics and the genes. And when you're dealing with that, you're going to find out that brown and black is dominant. It means pure. It would be more you, more pure. And that's why when whites came off of us, it was no more than just off pure. And that's why when oftentimes we see horse races and you only see black or brown horses in the race at the Kentucky Derby. When you see it, and when you see them, you think about just what I'm telling you, that the Kentucky Derby only have brown and black horses because they carry dominant genes. They're thoroughbred, meaning purebred. Now, mostly anything you find white is called albino. If you have a white catfish, albino, a white alligator, albino, a white tiger, albino, a white lion, albino, white rhino, albino, like some people say albino. But when you get to Caucasian people, they don't want to be called albino. Amen. I'm a pastor, so I'll say that sometime. But now I want you to understand this. And I want you to understand that this too. We may not understand this because those who live in America and some people in Europe, that you would think that light-skinned people or whites or European whites, that they outnumber other races, and that's not the truth. They only make up 11% of the world's population. There's only 850 million white folk in the world today. Out of, that's not even a billion, out of 7.5 billion people. Now, in Africa, you may have 1.2 billion people. Now, that's in Africa. That's not counting the 4 million Africans or blacks that live in the Caribbean, or the 40 to 50 million that live in the United States, or the 1 million that live in Canada, or the 1.5 million blacks that live in Mexico, or the 15 million that live in Brazil, or the 400,000 that live in Australia, or the 150,000 blacks that live in Argentina, or the 8 million that live in Europe today. So I want you to understand this, that there are not that many white folk in the world. That's why that they are so violent. They think that they went around and tried to conquer everybody and do everybody low rate and do low down things to the world. And if you ever notice that what just happened at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., how violent people they are. And now this is something that you need to pay close attention to. You're looking at a person whose nature is, that is their nature, to be violent like that. That's the nature. That's why everywhere they go, they do that. And so we have to look at those things. Now, I want us to continue to think about what I'm about to say to you. History hasn't been taught us, the right history. Whites have lied to us about the history. They know, because I've told you the things that I've I read some things, some of the things just off the top of my head, which I did my due diligence in studying. They know these things. They write these things in books, but we don't pick the books up to study, and they are not going to teach you that you have dominant genes compared to their recessive genes. They're not going to tell you that they came from you. Then they turned like almost albino. They went through a mutation and became the color they are. And they want you to believe that being dark-skinned is bad, but being dark-skinned is the original man, not a mutated study, not a weaker part of a person. So it's important that we look at these things and we begin to study them and acknowledge the fact that these things do exist. Now, I've often wanted to say, then I'm a pastor, and like I say, I have degrees in theology. And nevertheless, I want you to understand, to the those who are African American, don't take the lead of those who are Muslims who say we have fallen into a prey. But the prey we have fallen into is to allow white King James and white Europeans to interpret the Bible for us. But for if we learn, now I want you to listen to me closely. If we learn what to look for in the Bible, you would almost could say the Bible is a black man's book, or is a black man's book. And you heard what I said is correct. Now, I want you to understand this and listen at this. The chosen people, when Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, just say Japheth was the Caucasian, and Shem was the brown man, and Ham was the black man. Now, I want you to understand that this is Zondervan Bible Dictionary, Compact Bible Dictionary. And if you look up the definition of the word Ham in the Bible, Zondervan, you could take your computer or whatever and look it up. Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary, definition of Ham. And they're going to tell you that he's the youngest son of Noah, born probably 96 years before the flood, and one of the eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, and they'll tell you Ethiopia, Egypt, which they tell you Egypt wasn't black people, but the Bible, but they would tell you this in this book. See, they'll say it, and then they try to come back and make something be different. But they'll tell you that he is the progenitor, meaning he's the father of the black dark race, which was Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. Now, when they use the term Canaan, Canaan is Jerusalem, the Holy Land, where they got white folk living there right now. Now, but listen to what they say. That's not the harsh part. They say that Ham was the progenitor of the dark race, but not the Negro. African American, we've been American for many years. They have always called you a Negro. For years, you were called a Negro. And you know who the Negro would be? And you know, people are going around saying it right now, called the black Hebrews. Hebrews, and that's who you are. Hebrew. You wonder why that they're saying that. And then I want you to understand too, and you can look this up. The term white people. Now, what I'm saying, that when they start calling themselves white people, they started in around 1680 or 1681, and was not used in Europe at any time. At that time, they was called, if you was from Africa, you was an African. If you was from Europe, you was a Europe. You was a European. You were from Europe. You wasn't called white. You was a European. Europe person from Europe. You were from China. You were the Chinese. But they tried to separate themselves and make themselves be above. Now, that same person who King James and others, those who were having slaves, they had to have now a white pope. And we're supposed to be our brother's keepers and everything. His name was Pope Nicholas IV or the Sixth. He signed a referendum for slavery, for the rape, the abuse, the kidnap, the murder, the lynching, the burning, the working from sunup to sundown in the name of religion. Catholic Pope. Remember that name, Nicholas. Now, it's incumbent upon us to understand this very, very well. There are different books that you could even buy and study just and find out what color were they. And I want you to understand, the next time a person ever tell you that we were cursed, or black were cursed to be black, tell them to find it for you in the Bible. There's nowhere in your Bible that they were cursed to be black. But now there's a part in 2 Kings 5 and 27 where a man was cursed to be white. Now, it talks about the call of Naaman's leprosy, called the curse of Naaman, talking about that Naaman's leprosy was clean to you. He told Jehovah that the leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and your descendants forever. And then they say, Jehoshaphat went from Elisha present, and his skin was white, was leper. It became white as snow. And it said that all of his descendants forever would be white. That's the only place in the Bible where God cursed somebody to be a color, and it was not black, but it was white. You can look it up again. I'll give you that verse of scripture, because I don't say things that I can't show you in the Bible. You read the book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter and the 27th verse. It's time that we start looking and finding things, and quit allowing people like the people who are leading us today, like our ex-president, the demagogue. And if you want to know what a demagogue is, it's a political leader who seeks support by appealing to the desires of the prejudice and the ordinary people, rather than by using a rational arrangement or a rational argument. Trump might say anything and go out after those who, you know, Klansmen and others. So he would be called a demagogue. Now, I want you to understand, and the Bible said that the Garden of Eden, and these are European tell us that the Garden of Eden was over where Iraq is today, around Babylon. Now, they said, and but now the Bible in the second chapter of Genesis, it talks about and it tell you where the garden was. But the Bible talks about the four rivers, the Gihon, the Pishon, the Hiddekiah, and the Euphrates River. Well, the Gihon and Pishon, if you look it up, and anyone would tell you, is the fact that the Gihon and the Pishon River is in Africa, and it even tells you go around the land of Havilah and Cush and Somaliland. Somalia is Africa, and then it talks about Havilah, which is Cush, which is Ethiopia. The word Ethiopia, the word term for that, mean burnt face, mean burnt black, mean you burnt. And for they call the people back then, in ancient days, they called the people in Egypt Kemites, the people, the Kemites. And Kem mean black. But now, since they built 40 four-story pyramids without cranes, and whites couldn't do it today, even if they try to do it, they don't understand. So they take that away and say they make the people look like they're white. Whenever you watch it on television, you notice that everybody associated with anything big or historical, even with the Bible, everybody in the Bible were white, and they did not have Caucasian people living in that area at that time. Now, when they talk about the Hiddekel and the Tigris River, I mean, the Hiddekel and the Gihon, well, the Gihon and the Pishon, both of those are the Nile. You're talking about the Blue Nile and the White Nile. And they do encompass that land. Encompass means like a crescent to go around. Those rivers went around. And they say, well, there's gold in Beldonium. That's in Ethiopia. Now, I do believe that the flood, before the flood, all those lands were joined together. And after the flood, it came up with the Gulf of Suzanne and the Red Sea that separated those, and the rivers could have touched. But now, I don't believe that the Tigris River is the Hiddekel River, because this said that the Hiddekel flow east and west. But if you look at the Tigris River on the map, it goes north and south unless the river changed the way it flowed back then. Now, the Euphrates and it kind of parallels one another. So, you know, when I was getting my master's degree, I was doing some study on that, and I came up with it. But I also found something out by really, really studying the Bible. I found out that the so-called children of Japheth, the Eskenaz, the Khazar, the Sephardim, and the other, they left out the Bible. Now, the sons of Japheth, they left out the Bible. And around the end of the 10th to the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, not to come back in the Bible until a couple hundred years before Christ. That's almost 2,000 years. It is. Simply about 2,000 years, they went out the Bible through the whole Old Testament, only to come back in with Alexander the great conqueror, and when the Romans came, Caesar, his army came in. So the Greek came in and conquered, and then came behind them maybe 180, 160 years later, came in the Romans, and that's who was the conqueror during that time. And if anybody had a map, I could show you what I was teaching. And, of course, I was teaching the other night, I was teaching hermeneutics, and it's the science of interpreting scriptures. But I was showing them in a map, if the Roman army pushed through that way and if the Greek army marched in through coming from north and pushing down south to Jerusalem, the Holy Land, the people only way to flee was to flee to the south. And see, during that time, they didn't have the Suez Canal. The land was jointed. And matter of fact, there's a rift that runs from Africa straight up through the Holy Land today. And all of that was called North Africa one time. But it's a lot of things that's been trying to change. They've been changing these things with us for us not to understand. Now, I want you to continue to follow me on this. Now, the people are, because the people over there today are white people, and they put them there, and they say that they're Jews, but the book of Revelation says about people coming in the Holy Land going to say that they're Jews and are not. And those people that are over there are not. They may be proselytes, but they're not the original Hebrew Israelites, because they would have to be black. In my research when I was writing my thesis, I posed the question that I needed to find an answer. 5,000 years where Abraham came from was Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. Well, I wanted to know the color or race of people that were there. And now, you know, they call it Ethiopians. They say they were probably 2 to 1, they were Ethiopian. And, you know, they were called burnt face. They say it now, if you ask what color the Sumerians were 5,000 years ago, they would tell you that they were chocolate, which stoop noses mean thick noses. And I don't know anybody chocolate other than us. I mean, African-Americans or African. Now, these are things that we never think about because a picture's worth a thousand words. In other words, what we see on television about Moses and Jesus, they've turned everybody white because their kids would never bow down to a black God. They would not bow down to a black God. They would not bow down and worship somebody black, so they make them white. And I think that all the students and those who I talk to over and over, a narrative is a story. And I teach them that he who write the narrative make the people be the color, look the way they want them to look, and then tell the story from their own perspective. And that's how they do when they make the movies and they do different teachings of the Bible, because they show you who they are. Now, if you really want to find out what color the true Israelites or Hebrew Israelites were, those children that God called his people, if you really want to find out what color they are, the chosen people of God, you need to talk with people that's from in that area. You would have to talk to some people, some Arab people. Now, in 1952, Gamal Abdel Nasser, this guy named Gamal Abdel Nasser, he was the president of Egypt in 1952. He was the predecessor to Anwar Sadat. Well, Mr. Nasser, in his speech, Mr. Nasser himself made a statement. You can look this up. You could Google it. Whatever you want to do. Gamal Abdel Nasser. Gamal Abdel Nasser speech in 1952. And this is what happened when he made a speech. He was telling America, because America, France, and I think Britain and other countries, they gave that land, what we call the Holy Land around Jerusalem area, they gave it to some white nomadic people. Talking about the Eskenaz, the serfdom, and things. So they gave these people the land. And so he wanted to let them know that those people didn't belong, that old white people didn't belong in the land. And so their neighbors, the one time the land was joined together. So the president of Egypt politely told him on national TV, we the Arab League refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish, that they were not Hebrew, that they were not Jews. He said, we the Arab League refused to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. Now, this is the most important part. He said, how can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept them. You're talking about 68 years ago. He told them when the people had just been there for 4 years in the Holy Land. He told them, he said, these ain't the right people. How you going to put white people here in the real Israelites, the real Jews, the real Hebrew people are black? How are they going to leave black and now you're going to put some white people here? This is what the Arab people told them, and that's why they're continuously at their throat. It's so much that we as a people need to start studying and learning of who we are, whose we are. Pastor William always and myself always talk about that people need to learn who they are and whose they are. Now, this is another point I want to tell you. because, and I'm about to go into a Q&A after I say a few more things. Now, if you want to look up something, take your time and look this up. If you want to know, now, there were Africans already here in America when the settlers came here. They had a Native American African tribe that were Native Americans already here. I'm going to say something, and I want you to Google it. Ask, why were the Indians called copper as a penny? Take a penny out of your pocket. Look at the color of a penny. That was the original color of the Native Americans. That's why they call them Redskins. Look at the ex-football team called the Washington Redskins. Look at what color those Indians are painted. You would think they're black people with smooth hair. They were dark-skinned. They were real dark-skinned people. I also served in the military with some Indians. And some of them, those that had not been interbreeding much, they were very dark-skinned people. They may have had their real coarse black hair, but they were dark-skinned people. That's why they call white people pale face, because they say that them people came with no color. Now, but I want to just give you this too. I would submit to you, 1,200 years before Christ, almost during Moses' time, they had blacks in the Americas. All you have to do is look up this term and Google it. OL-MEC, OMEC, the OMEC people. And the way that they know that they were here, they left colossal heads, statues, and they had real, real broad noses, shoulder nose, the big lips, and they have some of the same statues in Africa. And matter of fact, you could go down to Mexico and other parts, and you'll find out that they have 17 heads have been found and discovered to this day. Saint Lawrence, Levita, in the Andes Mountains in South America. I mean, it's something that not being taught in schools and things, and it's a reason that it's not like that. And I told we need to learn about the melanin in our skin. We need to learn some genetics and find out that you're not a race that's below anybody. And matter of fact, there's more dark-skinned people. Most of the world is made up of, so you could say 89% of the world is people of color. Only 11% of the world are. So there's a lot that we need to really study and learn about ourselves. There's so much going on. Last week, I just went on and on. And I didn't give you all the information that would have been needed. I really didn't give you all the information that you would have been needed. I only gave you, matter of fact, to be honest with you, I only gave you maybe 100 and something inventions, which was 200 and something inventions, and most notary that they did so many things today. This country couldn't function without the inventions that African Americans made. We'll be a third world country. We wouldn't have air conditioning. We couldn't have a refrigerator, washer, dryer, typewriter, computer, cell phone. You wouldn't have cars. You wouldn't have any of these things. It'll take you years to get a pair of shoes. You wouldn't have red light. You wouldn't have elevators. You wouldn't have so many things, just to name a few of them. And so, again, I want us to understand that out of Africa occurred about 70,000 years ago. After modern humans established themselves in Africa, smaller population branched out to establish foothold from Asia to Europe and also to the Americas. So, and find out about what's a mutation. And now, this, I'm going to give you the definition of a mutation. I told you black white people number black people that went through a mutation. A mutation is the change of a structure of a gene resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted by subsequent generation caused by alteration of single base units of DNA or deletions. And that's what happened. The whites have a deletion of certain DNA like melanin and other insertion or arrangement of a larger section of gene. A mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variation enter a species. So that's how we go from white to black. Amen. I thank God, and I want us to make sure that they're trying to, and it's in Georgia right now, that the mail do away with the mail in. But I remember growing up when we would rent vans and we'd take old people to vote, people there without transportation. We made sure they got to the voting poll, and it's time that we do the same. If they pass those laws, you haven't won an election yet by trying to cheat and keep us out. We will get vans and cars and drive people to the polls. You know, no matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We know who we are, and we know we could do better, and we will do better. God bless you. If we have any questions, this is our Q&A time.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for such a powerful show and that information. God bless anyone out there listening that is standing by. If you'd like to ask a question, make a statement, have a comment for Dr. Kemp, the line is open for you now. God bless you. Welcome to the show. Good evening. All right. They're there, Pastor. They just not have any questions for you.
Okay. Well, since there are no questions, I pray that I said something that gave you more knowledge of who you are, gave you the knowledge of the truth that you can go do further research. And this is something. It's my prayer that the things that I say, research it, learn it, pass it on to your children, because they're not going to learn it in school. The courses that are being taught in school are meant to leave blacks out of anything that's positive. The only thing that they want us to reflect on is the negativity and suffering of slavery. Only thing we done was able, couldn't read, couldn't write, go out there and work for old Massa. Not that we was the architect that built Washington, D.C. They don't want to tell you that the light bulb wouldn't have stayed on. You know, because a lot of them want, they don't want to tell you these things. That Benjamin Banneker, he was the one that outlaid Washington. Then he turned around and he learned astrology about when the tide come in and the different things of the moon and, you know, your quarter moon and all kind of things and the tide. The tides work along with the movement of the moon and when to plant your crop. All of these things came from Africa. The majority of the even the food, and I'm from Louisiana and gumbo, that's a staple. That's sweet potatoes. They're different okra, different crops. This stuff came from Africa. So much of the meds came from Africa. The first doctor, space person, all this stuff came. M. Hotel built a step pyramid. They was able to do brain surgery. First college was in Timbuktu in Africa. We not behind them. We wasn't behind. Africa wasn't behind anyone. And I submit to you this before I pray. Look up modern cities in Africa. Look up modern cities in Africa and they would look as good as Chicago, Houston, Dallas, New York, or anywhere else. But what's ironic about this situation is they just show you the poorest part. Well, I submit to you, I could take you to some trailer park. I could take you up in the Appalachian Mountain Trail in Virginia and Tennessee and Smokies and Carolina Mountain and show you some rough-looking people. The hillbillies, I can show you some rough-looking people living. And that America wouldn't want people to see how they look. So, but America will do that to other countries. So let us be grateful and happy who we are. Be proud of your big nose, proud of your big lip, proud of your dark skin because it's original. Be proud of your hair. Don't call your hair nappy because your hair is not like an animal's hair, straight. So be proud of who you are. And not try to bleach your skin and not try to do different things and be a Michael Jackson, be someone who's not. But I just want to say God bless you. I want to see if Reverend William want to say anything before I pray us out.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for that, Dr. Kemp. Just want to be able to inform everybody. Don't forget tomorrow night, Breaking Chains. We'll be back at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Come on in and join us. We have great conversation every night. We're on 7 days a week now, so get involved in the conversation. Don't forget to support our young people. They sign on at 5 p.m. every Friday to Break Chains. God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Kemp. Go ahead, sir.
Amen. God bless everyone. I just want to let you know it's my prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we spread some wisdom and knowledge and true history about mankind. We thank the Lord God for those who tuned in, those who wanted to tune in and were not able to tune in. Thank you for those who didn't have any questions they wanted to ask. And Lord, I pray that if it was someone that wanted to ask a question, and Lord, I pray that they understand that the only dumb question is one not asked. Father, I pray that this, what was said, would make us feel better of ourselves because it's the truth, and let us know we are somebody. We may be in a country in America where we was enslaved and mistreated, and that was stolen from Native America. But, Lord, we know, Lord, that we good people. We know that we chosen people. We know that we are your people. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, and just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for past blessing, present blessing, and future blessing. Bless this ministry of so many hats that, Lord God, that Reverend William wave for so many different ministries, Lord. He try to make sure you fed spiritually and secularly. So, Lord, we ask that you bless him and bless all of his ministries. Give him and crown him with abundance of wisdom and knowledge and fortitude to continue to go and forward. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you again for all those who are listening. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'll do better as a race of people. And, Lord, we just don't pray for blacks, but we pray for everybody, white, black, rich or poor. I usually talk about it from my African-American perspective, Lord God, because it's not addressed in our school system, and white kids never learn it, and black kids never learn it too, that someone have to teach the truth. And, Lord, that's what we try to do. Now, Lord, bless each and every one, Lord, because all of us, white, black, rich, poor, we all are your children. We all are one another neighbors. Lord, I just preached the sermon Sunday. White, black, rich or poor, who is my neighbor? Everyone that I meet is my neighbor, Lord God. I thank you and praise you. I ask all these blessings in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I love everybody, black, white, rich or poor. It ain't nothing that none of you guys could do about it. I love all race, creed, and colors. I am a true man of God. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much. God bless everybody. Have yourself a good night. Pastor Say, we are one. Enjoy yourself. God bless you. We thank you for taking a listen this evening. You've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.